It's down to the last four teams. BetOnline has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. And now that we're almost down to the finals, we've still got a lot more in store. MLB is here and NBA, NHL playoffs are around the corner. As always, BetOnline is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. And remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Believe in OK State podcast. I am Megan Robinson, joined by Justin Southwell. Guys, Eve Kvitova has been MIA for a few weeks, and he informed us last night that he is taking a step back from the show. So, Justin, just please just take this.
MIA, because he was in Miami. Also missing in action, but yeah, as it turns out, Eve, maybe just not as loyal and true as we had thought before. Yeah. So get roasted now, go have fun, and then maybe we'll have you on as a guest in the future if Meg ever gets over this betrayal.
I mean, you know how when OU announced that they were leaving the Big 12 and Oklahoma State's like, it's not my problem you're leaving. Why should we change our schedule for you? Like, Eve, you're choosing to emancipate yourself from this friendship and this podcast. And, you know, I don't know if I want you back in the near future. I don't know.
Now he's getting compared to OU. Like, this is what happens when you leave. So
when you leave, emphasis on the Eve.
Don't leave,
Eve in leave.
Believe in Eve leaving. Okay.
Just kidding, Eve. You can come back. We'd love to have you back as a guest if your schedule allows it. And honestly, in all seriousness, wish you the best with Vestible. If you guys have not checked it out, go check out his new company that he has been working hard to launch and get off the ground. So we're excited to see where that goes. So that's our sad news. The happy news, though, guys, is that yesterday I survived my first tornado sirens in Oklahoma. So that's nice. Exciting.
And how long have you been in Oklahoma?
I have been in Oklahoma for 3.5 years. And in 2022, the sirens went off, but I was not here. I was in Charleston, South Carolina for a wedding. I just got like the Oklahoma State severe weather alert, like campus update alert, campus safety updates. So I was like, well, that's happening back in Oklahoma, but I'm not there. But last night I was FaceTiming my mom and I was like, those are the tornado sirens.
There you go. You made it 3.5 years. That's a pretty good run. So,
yeah.
And luckily, just sirens, right? Nothing crazy happened. So
no, I think that there might have been tornadoes might have touched down and it was like dicier in other parts of Payne County. But the weatherman said that the siren, he's like, people in Stillwater are hearing sirens, and that's just because they're going off countywide. So you guys are just gonna get bad storms. But there was one clap of thunder that shook my apartment. It was the loudest thunder I've ever heard in my life. It was insane.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff is, it's no joke. I was actually in the May 3rd, 1999 tornado, which is one of the biggest tornadoes in Oklahoma history, I guess in the history of the world. And F6, 318 miles an hour, at times a mile wide on its track all the way through the Moore, Oklahoma area. So, you know, I went to Westmore and my dad, he was like, yeah, we got to go take cover. So we went to Westmore because we were living in apartments at the time across the street from Westmore, and sought shelter there. And sure enough, it didn't matter. Like, the tornado came right through there. Luckily, we were fine. But it was a good thing we went there, because the apartments, the entire apartment complex was completely destroyed. And yeah, it was wild. So literally ever since then, I'm not really afraid whenever I hear about tornadoes and stuff. I'm like, I've like survived the worst of the worst. So anytime there's tornado sirens going off in Stillwater, I'm like, all right, like I know to be safe. Obviously, if I need to, I can go to Boone Pickens Stadium, get in the locker room. It's underground. And luckily, it never really came to that. There was maybe one time where it gets kind of getting a little dicey. But yeah, I mean, just a good practice to stay weather aware, as always. But yeah, again, nothing to mess with for sure.
That's crazy that you were like the that more situation. Like that's crazy.
It's pretty crazy.
That's crazy. I when I first moved here, my first like tornado season. So I moved here in September 2020. So I guess like May 21, there were some potential tornadoes. And I asked my coworkers, I was like, serious question, what do I do in a tornado? And everyone's like, oh, we just get our lawn chairs out and watch on the front porch. And I'm like, no, in all seriousness, like, what do I actually do? Because this is not something I have. There have been tornadoes in the Northeast where I'm from. There might've been like one or two in my entire life, like randomly, but they were nowhere near these, you know, it's like, oh, that is technically a tornado. And there's a little bit of trees are down and there's fallen limbs and all of that, but nothing to the destruction that I've seen in other parts of the country. So I just sat in my closet for like 10 minutes watching the weather with Bixby. Just, I was like, I don't know if I should be freaking out or not. So I was like, Bix, we're just going to hang out in here while we watch the weather. And he's like, Stillwater, you're good. I'm like, okay, we're going to resume watching basketball.
Yeah, that's what's pretty crazy. The technology is really good for, you know, storm chasing and all of that. So you can actually pinpoint where the tornadoes are and everything. And yeah, you can kind of technically get the lawn chairs out if you're not within that path. But there's always the off chance, you know, sometimes they hook around and different stuff like that. So again, like, be smart, be safe. But it is a little bit different compared to, I don't know, like hurricanes, for example. It's like a wider range of, you know, where it is. So with the tornado, you got the tornado itself, and then you might have some wind and rain around it, but the tornado doing all the damage and all that, you can actually watch it if it's, you know, going across you, and it's like, wow, that's crazy. But it's a wild natural phenomenon to be able to witness. So
yeah, I'm good. I don't know if I need to like see one of those.
So if you're ever in one, okay, the pressure is immense. Your ears will pop. That'll go away after a while. I smelled a lot of just like gas, I guess, because it had hit a gas station nearby. Oh. Had to hit some cars, flipped over cars and things like that. It's a very eerie feeling after it's all done. You're just like, I feel like this is kind of the end of the world almost. Like, it's kind of scary. So,
well, it just seems crazy because it's so fast. And it's just a couple minutes, and then you go outside and everything is destroyed.
Yeah.
Like,
it's crazy.
That's crazy. Well, you guys didn't tune in for the weather updates. You guys tuned in for football talk.
They absolutely did. This is springtime. This is what we do. No, I'm just kidding.
Springtime, spring ball. Second week of spring practice is underway. Last week I went over on Thursday and I got to speak a little bit with Colin Clay, and he was raving over the new D-line coach, Paul Randolph. Said he brings the energy and has everybody's best interest in mind. Said that Randolph is engaging in meetings, does not allow music in meeting rooms. Justin, how would you feel about, is that common to have music in meeting rooms?
You know, I don't remember music in the meeting rooms. I mean, like maybe like beforehand, you know, you'd be able to get away with, you know, somebody would get on the computer, they'd pull up YouTube, we'd watch some funny videos, we might listen to some music. But yeah, as soon as the coaches walks, and it's like, they shut that down, like we're getting down to business. So I don't know, that doesn't surprise me to hear that. But yeah, I mean, that's probably what needs to happen, I would think, if you want to be a serious football program. You probably need to, you know, cut the music out whenever it's time to get down to business. So
I just thought it was interesting that Colin made a point to mention that, like, the no music in the meeting room. And he said that when Randolph is watching film with players and giving critiques, he ensures, like, hey, Colin Clay, this might be a play that you're involved in. I might be talking to you, but I'm talking to all of you in this room so that they don't make those mistakes going forward. And he just, you know, really, it's not just singling out a guy. It's like, okay, well, this player might be doing it on this specific piece of film, but I better not see any of you all do that. Wow.
Right.
Anyone else do that? That's the phrase. Anyone else do that?
Yeah, you definitely learn a lot from, you know, watching your teammates in practice. Whenever they either make a play or they make a mistake, you can still learn from that, even though you weren't technically in that position. So it's good that they're recognizing that and taking advantage of it. Kind of back to the music thing. Like, music is definitely a big deal. It's part of the football culture and everything. So I know that before practice, after practice, it's blaring in the locker room, especially after games, especially after a big win, music is going, right? But yeah, it's just funny that meetings, like, yeah, it's funny that he brought that up as a point of, hey, this is a little bit different. This is a nice little change of pace, I guess. But I did see your interview with him, and I have to say, fried okra is the top-notch barbecue side. Can't beat it. Fried okra is where it's at.
Okay. Yeah. So Justin watched my brief interview with Colin Clay. And why would Meg talk about fried okra with Colin Clay? Well, because when Randolph came in, he took his players to Smoke and Joe's with his wife to get to know each other. And so of course I had to ask Colin his favorite, his barbecue order and his sides. And he was a fan of the fried okra. But I, you know, one of the big things too, though, is I was talking to him about Coach Randolph, because a lot of players have said he's very personable. He cares about you as people first, player second, really wants to get to know you on a human level. And so I really like that. And, you know, he's been watching. Justin, how common is it for coaches to watch film one-on-one with their players?
Yeah, I don't know that that's very common. You'd almost have to have it, like, I would think, as a special request, as a player going to a coach and requesting that of him and say, hey, man, would you mind taking 15, 20, 30 minutes out of your day, set some time aside, and we can review some film together? I think a lot of that is, it's on the player's shoulders. You feel like that's the responsibility of the player to go in. You watch film, you know, you're supposed to log your hours. But if you're just watching film, just to watch film without the guidance of a coach to be able to point out what you're actually watching, you're not really doing yourself any favors. So it's good that, yeah, ask the expert, right? And get an in-depth understanding of what you're actually looking for, what to do in certain situations, what certain situations look like depending on down, distance, time on the clock, formations, zone coverages, all the different things, right? So you got to start somewhere. And yeah, why not ask somebody who is an expert in that field?
Yeah. No, lots of positive things coming out about Coach Randolph, which is very exciting. The other thing on the defensive side of the ball, obviously, second year under Nardo, Gundy likes the evolution that he's seen so far of Coach Nardo. He said that they've had a lot of meetings about defensive philosophy, and they expect to mix up the alignment. Now, Justin, I know that you were a wide receiver on the offensive side of the ball. Gundy said that they anticipate playing three down and four down defense, mixing it up. How can that cause confusion for opposing offenses?
Yeah. Some very basic knowledge here, right? So, and, you know, three down versus four down, it's kind of like if you're playing offensive line, just imagine playing on the offensive line, and every single play you see the same formation every time. It's three down linemen. They're spread out based on certain gaps, you know. And then you have four linebackers behind them. and you kind of get a feel for it throughout the game. And you're like, I can expect to see this type of stunt or blitz or coverage from a linebacker. I know where to look for him. And throughout the course of the game, you get a feel for the speed of those players, what to expect of where they're going to be on the field. Okay, well, if you change it up in the middle of the game, in the middle of a drive, and you go from three down linemen to four down linemen, now you're trying to account for who's my guy now? Who do I have to block? Because what I'm used to seeing is this, and now all of a sudden it's this. So even that, just to be able to make them think enough, can get them. I mean, it is confusing because you're in a battle on the field. Things are so fast, and you have, that's like one more thing that you have to account for, and you can trip somebody up. And just that instance of, instead of three down, let's do four down this time. Okay. Once that's all taken care of, you're getting used to, all right, here's what I do in three down situations. Here's what I do in four down situations. Well, now you have different coverage variations you have to take into account, who you're picking up in blitz packages, who you are, you know, just whatever gap you're assigned to. Some of that stuff can change based on shifts, and it can get confusing for a line because you've got five guys on the offensive line and all five of them have to be on the same page for it to work. And that's why it's the ultimate team sport. It starts up front in the trenches on the offensive line, because as you know, if we don't have anything functioning up front, it doesn't matter who your running back is. Like, you might break one every once in a while on a lucky, you know, something just happens, but I mean, everybody's got to be all on the same page. And then that obviously translates to the quarterback being the field general, the running back having understanding of, you know, that, and the trust that your offensive line is going to do what you think they're going to do so that you can do your thing and run the ball. So.
Yeah, no. And that, just as you're explaining all of that, it makes me excited for our offensive line to get to practice against that. And be like, okay, guys, we're just going to run a third down defense right now. We're going to, you know, keep them on their toes, which hopefully makes them better. And, you know, that brings me to a point. Gundy, after practice today, he was asked about the development of the team. And he said he thinks that they're further ahead than they've been in the spring, considerably further than last year. We're able to move along much faster. It's interesting to watch the high school players and how they evolve over the spring. Which I just think is so, I mean, like, I don't want to harp on it, but last year there were so many question marks in the spring of who was going to be good, who was going to play quarterback, who was on this team, who are the leaders. And this year, those questions are not there. They have been answered. I think the biggest question is who was going to be the surprise breakout star, you know? But it's just really encouraging. And Justin, on that note, like, how beneficial is it to not have these question marks and be able to start implementing plays in the spring, as opposed to having to do the basics now and then implement plays at fall camp?
Yeah, it's something that can't be overlooked for sure, because, you know, so much of that goes into timing. And if you're able to get this stuff down in the spring going into the summer versus having to pick this up in the summer and maybe even into the first few weeks of the year, that's a lot of precious time you can't get back. And if you're going to be able to have guys that are doing this right now, not only is it helping them for what we're going to see in the game, but it's also helping the younger guys see what's expected of them whenever it's their time to shine.
Yeah. I mentioned the quarterback battle, guys. There is not a quarterback battle. It's Alan Bowman. And he was talking about the body by Glass. And he said, normally Coach Glass has modified workouts with quarterbacks throughout their winter programs, but they weren't modified at all. They did everything that everybody else did, bench, squat, you name it. He's gotten some arm strength, some leg strength, bigger, faster, stronger. How does that make you feel hearing Alan Bowman say that he's put on some muscle? He did the entire body by Glass program this off season.
Man, he's going to be running out looking like Tim Tebow out there, you know, just, that is kind of funny. I remember the modified workouts for the quarterbacks whenever I played, and like, sure, it's not your whole full body by glass type of thing, but it's also no joke. You know, these guys are, they're still going through it. And, it's just kind of cool that he's got the, I guess the will, the toughness to say, you know what, let's just do it. Let's just do what everybody else is doing. I think that kind of maybe speaks a little bit to his leadership style. He's not going to ask anybody else to do something that he's not willing to do himself. And hey man, that'll go a long way, I think, in the locker room. Like I'm going to go to the bat for this guy, because this guy, he's doing everything we're doing. All right. We're all laying it all on the line this year. And we're all sacrificing so that we can get that Big 12 championship.
Yeah. I know we're on like week two of spring ball. We still have 3 weeks to go, an entire summer, but just hearing the guys talk about this team and how confident they are and how much farther ahead they are now than they were this time last year, just makes me excited for August 31st.
No, it definitely does. I mean, like we're just building off of so much momentum, and you got so many guys coming back from last season on that special run. It's different if you got a bunch of guys coming back where it was like, okay, you just had a 6-6 season, or you're just like, you know, maybe we'll be a little bit better. But this is a team that won 10 games last year. And they're coming back looking for revenge yet again, revenge tour part two, and they're going to get that Big 12 championship. So yeah, of course, all that starts right now. Like you're winning games in September, October, November, December because of what you're doing March, April, May, June, July, August.
You mentioned the Big 12 championship. The last thing I'll say about spring practice is that Rashad Owens also mentioned that today. He said it's a true blessing that everybody had the heart and desire to come back and play with each other one more time. We're definitely eager and hungry for that Big 12 championship. And the word that stood out to me there is the heart, had the heart to come back. And a lot of these guys are like, well, my buddy was coming back, so I figured, why not me do it too? And I feel like they want it. Not that they wanted it last year, but I feel like they want it so much more this year. And they know that this is it for so many people on this team that it's quite literally like Big 12 championship or bust.
Yeah. And you think about like other teams, for example, you get like your one shot with that team. It's like that every year, right? Every team is basically like, you know, you're feeling each other out in the summer and you get things rolling. You maybe get a couple of wins and you come together and you're like, we're playing for something bigger than ourselves. Like, let's go, let's ride this out. And then people graduate and that's it. Like the team dynamic changes. People move on. You got new guys coming up. Everything's different every single year. And then this year, sure, there are minor changes like that. You've got guys that have graduated and guys that are leaving. Guys that are coming up that might be able to make an impact this year. But for the most part, the vast majority of these guys have been at it for years. And yeah, it's like, it's your last shot, but it's like, this is our last shot. And we have all this experience together. And it's going to mean that much more.
Well, basketball season is wrapping up for the NCAA. However, a new era of Cowboy basketball began this week when Oklahoma State officially named Steve Lutz their 21st head men's basketball coach, coming to Stillwater from Western Kentucky University. I did not know much about him before 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I still don't know a ton. You know, I'm not going to lie, I didn't watch much Hilltoppers basketball this year. I do know they won Conference USA and they made it to the tournament this year. So I like those things. But Justin, I was telling you before we started recording that earlier today, I had the opportunity to speak with Miles Smith, who was one of his former players at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Smith was a grad student during Lutz's first full season as a head coach. That was his first full-time head coach position. And Smith told me that Lutz goes to his introductory press conference. There are a bunch of players there. And he goes to his guys and says, "Hey, players who are here, we have a 6 a.m. workout tomorrow. Be there." And that was the first thing that he did with his new team. And guys showed up. And Miles Smith, he was on the fence about whether or not he was going to transfer or not. Not because of Lutz, but because he didn't know who was coming in. And he's like, "I'm going to see who the new guy is. I'm going to give him a chance." And after that 6 a.m. workout, Smith was sold on Lutz's philosophies and who he was as a coach.
Things you love to see. I mean, anybody that can just come in and motivate people like that. Well, it can't hurt. I'll say that. So whenever you got guys that are, you know, motivating, inspiring, even to raise the standard of a program of individuals to form a team, and I'm excited. I think that with this coaching search, I heard his name brought up quite a bit, especially in the days that, you know, we weren't able to get our first one or two options. Maybe, I don't know exactly how it all played out really, whenever it's like with Weiberg behind the scenes. This is all, you know, speculation as we know, but with him being a top 3 to 5 name of guys that you want to get, and when you consider the state of the program right now, I think we're going to be all right. So I'm excited about what that looks like.
Yeah. The other thing that Miles Smith told me is that, so Lutz was hired the spring semester of Smith's senior year. Smith then played his grad year under Lutz. So Smith barely knew Coach Lutz at this point, graduates from Corpus Christi. Lutz shows up at this kid's graduation party to support him, barely even knowing who he was. And to me, that just speaks volumes about who Lutz is as a human. And I think a lot of people, when Boynton was let go, well, they understood it was the right reason. Everything I saw on social media was, this could not happen to a better, or like, Boynton is such a great person. We wish that this did not have to happen, but based on the record, it was the right decision. And based on that quick story about Lutz showing up at this kid he's known for a month or two graduation party to support him because he knew he was going to be one of his players the following season. Coaches don't have to do that. I have had coaches who would not have done that. I know coaches who would not do that. So I feel like we are getting a quality human. Again, that's only one example. I only talked to one player, but he said I would talk positive about him any day of the week. I have nothing but good things to say to him. He's still in contact with Coach Lutz. They still text. He hopes to get down to a game. Miles lives in Houston, so he hopes that when Oklahoma State plays there next season, he can get to a game. And I asked, "Are you going to wear orange?" And he said, "Absolutely." And he put some OSU orange. So we have new fans too, guys. We have new fans.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really not that hard to be a fan of Oklahoma State basketball.
No.
All the history and stuff. And we'll take some bandwagoners. It's all good. We got 13,000 seats in that arena. So we can fill it up with some bandwagon guys. It's all right. It's all good. Yeah, bring them with you. Let's. So no, that's cool to hear, right? Because whenever you've got somebody who's not just willing to buy into, you know, a program, basketball, you're buying into the people, and the people that maybe like you didn't even know for very long, and they're moving on. Just because they're moving on doesn't mean, you know, you're moving on from them too. Like, being there for somebody obviously makes a major impact. Like, this is a story that he'll be able to say for the rest of his life, because a new coach was able to come to a graduation party. It's a small thing that makes a big impact. And so I'm excited about what that translates to for our guys. I think that it starts with, you know, call it what it is, the transfer portal right now, and kind of the cloud that's hanging over Oklahoma State basketball right now. Who's going to jump in the portal because of this guy? Who's going to stay because of this guy? Mike Boynton was a great recruiter. We've got some guys on this basketball team that can play. And I think it's just a matter of time of Lutz being able to work with these guys and then being able to figure out strengths and how to play to those strengths and get them in the right position to win games. And I'm excited for the chance that he has. And I'm excited for the NIL that will continue to come in because of these changes. They are tough changes. Like Weiberg had to make tough decisions getting rid of a great guy in Mike Boynton. And I wish we could keep him on as a recruiter. Like that would be really cool. But, you know, it's business when it comes down to it. Whenever you got NIL money, the way that it is now, it's a business now more than ever. And I hope that Coach Lutz is able to come in here and compete in the toughest conference in America immediately, because that's what it's going to take.
Well, Justin, you talked about Boynton and his recruiting, and everyone will agree that Boynton was a phenomenal recruiter. Although I have heard good things about Lutz's recruiting ability as well. He has helped develop players like Doug McDermott from Creighton and Zach Edey at Purdue. I've heard that he was instrumental in getting Edey to Purdue. So that's very encouraging that he's worked with, you know, two big time players like that. Some more on Lutz.
Also, I guess his ties to Texas.
Yes.
So being able to recruit Texas is huge for Oklahoma State. It always has been. Just the sheer talent that comes from that massive state down south. That is going to be a big deal, I think. And then I'm really excited about what I've seen in, like, you know, posts and on Twitter and message boards and stuff. Just the style that he plays, it's very fast pace.
Yep.
And that'll get you fired up just to be able to put some more points on the board and see some guys just like really have a chance to shine and kind of like pad the stats a little bit, because that's what's fun about basketball, you know, being able to run it. And good luck keeping up.
Yeah, I'm also, so he is a fifth generation member of Henry Iba's coaching tree via Purdue's Matt Painter. So there is a deep Oklahoma State, you know, connection when you get into the weeds a little bit.
Yeah, there. That's pretty deep. Somebody did some digging on that. They're like, but, how can we tie this guy to the greatest men's basketball coach in Oklahoma State history? Oh, you know what? Looks like, yeah, here we go. This guy here, he's connected to this guy. And here we go. This is it.
It's like 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon, except Kevin Bacon is Henry Iba. And
100%. Yeah.
He connected dots. He posted a combined record of 69-35 at Western Kentucky and Texas A&M Corpus Christi, including a perfect 8-0 record in conference tournament play. This year, he won the Conference USA title with the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers and led them to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2013. He has 7 straight tournament appearances, including his time as an assistant coach. And that's, we like winners here at Oklahoma State.
That we do. And we're excited about it because normally this is a Believe in OK State. It's really a football podcast. And here we are talking about basketball. So, you know, this is a big deal. I'm excited.
Well, if you listen to this podcast at 10 a.m. on Thursday, April 4th, when it premieres, you'll be able to get over to this press conference or just before 3 o'clock or 3:30. His introductory press conference is 3:30 on Thursday, April 4th in Gallagher-Iba Arena. It is open to the public. So if you guys want to go meet the new basketball coach and see what he has to say, check it on out. It's over in GAA.
Nice.
Woo. Back to football, Justin. Last week was the Big 12 Pro Day. We're going to do a quick little recap. The Big 12, I don't think they released the official information, the numbers. I couldn't find all of people's stats, but I did find some stuff on some people. Leon Johnson III, he had a 4.5 40, 35-inch vertical.
Pretty good.
And 10.10 broad jump.
Pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a little bummed about his 4.5. He's like, I really wanted to be in the 4.4s, like a 4.49. I saw somewhere posted as like 4.52 was the official, but whoever clocked him told him 4.5. So Leon will shave off those 0.2 seconds and we'll give you, or 0.2 seconds and give you the 4.5. But I want someone to take a chance on him so bad. Like 6.5, 2.07, 35, like almost a 3-foot vertical. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, you're not even really taking a chance. You know, this is just a guy that's basically a surefire thing. Yeah. Might as well draft him.
Right? I mean.
No, but yeah, I think based on his measurables there, he should be like somebody to watch out for. I think that under the right system, of course, being able to get that opportunity, like he could turn into the next big deal. And I'd love to be able to claim him, you know, Oklahoma State, you know, let's see him rocking some orange in the NFL whenever he's getting interviewed and things like that, because he knows how much the, you know, the Oklahoma State fans love him for what he was able to do for us last year. So I hope he's able to get that shot in the NFL. He definitely deserves it.
I was about to like, could he be this year's Puka Nacua?
Yeah. Might as well just do that.
Puka Nacua was drafted in the 5th round. Fine, whatever. So someone draft Leon in the 5th round. But yeah, Puka's 6'2 and Leon's 6'5. So like someone take a chance on him.
Take a chance.
Yeah, a couple other guys who Elijah Collins, he was also there. He said he PR'd in everything and it was the best that it could have been. Xavier Benson couldn't bench as he's healing from a shoulder injury. He did get a 33-inch vertical and a 9.9 broad jump.
Whenever you see Leon Johnson's 10.10 broad jump, you're just kind of like, oh, only 9.9? 9.9. Come on, man.
He didn't have still... a working shoulder to get the arms going.
Pretty impressive. Of course, yeah. And we are talking about a linebacker here, and Leon Johnson III, he's a tall receiver, so
what do you think your broad jump would be?
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. Maybe I'll just go out in the backyard, warm up, and I'll do a broad jump. One or two just to see what I got going. I don't even remember what I did whenever I was doing this. I remember things like my bench, 40 time vertical. I'm a little bit fuzzy on like the 3-cone drill now even, but yeah, for whatever reason, the broad jump, it's not, obviously it wasn't impressive, but
wasn't a 10-10.
It wasn't, I don't know if I quite hit 10. I feel like I would have remembered 10, but for whatever reason, I don't know. Then again, like in elementary school in PE, we used to play this game called Jump the Creek, and you'd set out like a really long jump rope. That was the starting point. You could not step on that line or cross that line, and you had to jump all the way across to the other jump rope. And of course, this isn't the same as a broad jump because you're getting a running start. But I was like it's between me and this guy, one of my friends, Willie Taylor. And we were like the two kids that were able to jump the furthest. And we were like flying through the air on these. Like it was pretty crazy. Like I just remember like everybody's getting so hyped because we kept going further and further back. And I remember thinking, there's no way I'm going to be able to jump this. There's no way. And then sure enough, take off on a sprint, boom, jump, I make it. And it was like, it was a wild time for a 5th grader. I'll tell you that. But to say all that, I don't know what my broad jump would be right now.
I think I'd be lucky to get like 5 feet. I don't jump.
I don't jump.
I'm just not good at, like, I mean, I can jump, but it's just never something that I like had to train for or really need. But yeah, I remember doing like the presidential fitness tests though in elementary school, and it's like the broad jump, can you do a chin up? Can you do a rope climb? And I'm like, no, I can't do a chin up or a rope climb. I can now, but
those were the days. Those thriving. Were the, I was thriving.
Those were the days. But impressive numbers, you know. Nathan Latu, 25 reps on the bench, and that would have been the third most among defensive ends at the combine had he been invited.
Nice.
That's a lot of reps.
That's that is a lot. Let's see. That's about 8 to 10. I can't remember again. My memory's fading on all my numbers. I can't remember. I know for sure I got 15 at 225.
That's good.
But
that's good.
I think I might have tapped out at 17. Like after my football career was over, I was still able to get like continue to do the glass routine, right? And just I think 17 was like my all-time rep max. And my goal was to get 20 and be like, you know, in the realm of these freak running backs whenever they're up there and they're throwing up 20 reps on the bench press in the combine. That was my goal, but did not quite get there. So 25. Oof.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to embarrass you with what I can bench, Justin. We're just not going to shame you. No, I'm kidding.
Say it. What do you got?
God, I can like do 110 maybe once. Like my bench press is pathetic. It's not good. But you mentioned the glass routine. Anthony Goodloe came into Oklahoma State last spring and could only do 6 reps at 225. When on that body by class program, he did 22 reps at Big 12 Pro Day.
See, whenever I hear like he started off as 6, like I have like 2 thoughts initially, and I don't know Anthony, so I don't know if this is true or not. But my first thought is he probably has like long arms and it's tougher for him to get down and then push that back up. And 6 was all he could do at that point in time. And working with glass, he was able to get the proper technique down even with longer arms and to be able to push up more weight. Cause the jump from 6 to 22 is like astronomical. Yes. Okay. So the other part of that is that could be one reason for it. The other reason I think is maybe it was just the point in time that he was coming into the program at Oklahoma State. He wasn't quite up to like the level as like everybody else. Your man strength starts kicking in around that time. And, you know, he's just coming in and doesn't have that strength yet. And then over time, whenever he's working out with glass, and this could have been with probably any strength and conditioning program out there, not just saying it's glass, where he would have increased from 6 to 12 to whatever, but to go again from 6 to 22. I mean, what a testament to Coach Glass and the crew he has working with these guys. Cause man, like that is so much. That is a huge increase. 6 reps is, you're still strong. If you can hit 6 reps at 225, you're strong.
Yeah.
Period. If you go from 6 reps to 22, like you are almost 4 times stronger than when you came in. Like that is crazy. So mad props to not only Coach Glass for being able to do that, but to Anthony Goodloe for sticking it out and trusting the process.
End of the month.
It doesn't happen overnight.
It does not. And at the end of this month, we will see who ends up where. And I hope that our guys are given a chance. Well, know who is being given a chance, Justin, hot off the presses before we end this episode. I just got a text from a friend of a tweet from Matt Norlander of CBS Sports that Coach Mike Boynton is soon expected to join Dusty May's staff at Michigan as an assistant coach.
No way. Okay.
That's what's on the Twitter right now.
Okay. Like that's a little bit scary, because if you think about Mike Boynton's recruiting skills paired with Michigan's resources, I mean, not to say like Oklahoma State's resources aren't good, But we're talking about Michigan. And wow. Okay. I mean, good for you, Coach Boynton. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
Matt Norlander is
a little scared. Maybe.
Right? It's like, so that's what's being reported. The rest of Matt Norlander's tweet, Boynton has other options at the high major level, but May has a high priority on Boynton in year one in Ann Arbor. So that's not a done deal, but it is trending like Coach Mike will be in Ann Arbor. And that is where his wife, Jenny's family is from, according to Jacob Unruh, is what he said. So talking about the new hire, Coach Steve Lutz, and it's looking like Mike Boynton might be headed to Michigan in a couple days once everything is finalized. So congrats, Coach. We're happy. We're happy for you. I am happy that it's not a Big 12 school where we have to play them a couple times a year.
True. Yeah.
So that is a silver lining. And, you know,
and they're a Jordan school also. So he's going to get hooked up with all the Jordan and the maize and blue.
And Ann Arbor is just a really great college town. I'm a big fan of Ann Arbor, but, enough praise for Michigan. Let's praise some Oklahoma State athletes. First off, shout out to the equestrian team. Four-time Big 12 champs. Fourth year in a row, they got that Big 12 title. And for the second time...
I'm not like a major equestrian... Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say fan. Let's say I'm not an equestrian expert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I want to say that winning four straight Big 12 titles, I think that's good.
I think it's pretty. Okay. Yeah. It's not bad.
Yeah. I think it's good.
It's not. Yeah. I think it's pretty solid. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Bixby has friends whose moms are on the team. That's my tie to the question.
Of course he does.
Bixby has more friends in Stillwater than I do. He's just Mr. Popular. Yeah. And then also one other shout out to Lexi Kilfoyle. She swept Pitcher of the Week awards for the second time this season. She is the first pitcher in school history to win both NFCA and Big 12 Pitcher of the Week awards twice in one season. So keep on keeping on. And our women's tennis is still number one. Still number one. Woo. Thanks. Ladies, cleaning it up for the University. I almost said for the Cowboys, but I'm like, that makes no sense. You're the Cowgirls. But yeah.
Rep.
Well, that's all we got for this episode, guys. We appreciate you hanging with me and Justin because it's going to be the two of us for the time being, for a while. We're going to try to get some guests on, though. It'll be great. We appreciate all of you for listening. Like, share, subscribe, rate, review, all the things. And of course, presented by Bet Online. Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.